Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a freak flag. Feel good. Fake it till you make it. 512 Ric Flair. Woo! Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Yes, the crew is here. But, of course, it is a truncated, abbreviated edition of Ball Don't Lie because we're celebrating a dub. Texas baseball getting it done. We'll talk about that. We'll get Hardball's comments about it as well. We'll also get into some other news, notes, and nuggets from around the sports world. We got some NFL talk. Apparently in H-Town, they believe DeAndre Hopkins is coming back. We'll get into that as well. We'll also throw in a little Cowboys discussion, some news, notes, and nuggets from their OTAs. And of course, yes, we will review game one of the NBA Finals. The Denver Nuggets putting the old biblical style butt whipping on the Miami Heat. All of that and more. Before we do, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and chase his dream in the cheese. Pippin ain't easy, but for this man, it's a breeze. Mike Hardball Hart, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm so happy that it's Friday, and I'm so happy that the Horns got that victory. Ooh. I know it's a short show, so we'll get right into it. Let me talk about my man that sits across from me. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud car-carrying member of DBU. Legendary lifetime and now College Football Hall of Fame Longhorn, Derek Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study. But he's not a fan of white condiments. But, of course, he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rod Babels.
Appreciate the intro, as always. Let's not waste any time introducing the real MVP, one of the hardest-working members of the ARN family. He's got a hustler spirit, period. We don't know what he's paid. We're pretty damn sure that he's underpaid. It's Patrick Davis, y'all. What's going on, Patrick?
There we go. I'm trying to get all everything set.
I know.
We're good. A lot going on.
I apologize. I shouldn't even put Patrick on the
spot.
You're good. Like four or five different things.
We're getting running.
All right. We don't have much time. So first, I want to get into your thoughts about Texas baseball and their big win over the Ragin' Cajuns. Also, I will get into game one of the NBA Finals and review that. So obviously a short show, but glad we could bring you just a little bit of Ball Don't Lie today. Specs Text Line wide open for you, 512-337-3777. All right, Harch, let's get into it. Let's talk Texas baseball. Big win over the Ragin' Cajuns, and a little drama there, too. I like it. Yep. Ragin' Cajuns did not make it easy, but the Longhorns came up clutch when it mattered most. And somebody you've been bragging on for a long time, and now Longhorn fans, of course, know Dylan Campbell and know what he's done, but he might become more of a household name outside of Longhorn Nation with what he's done already his postseason.
Yes.
That's a hell of a way to start for the young man.
Yeah, I'm so excited for him and his family and what he's gone through here at the University of Texas, the time, the effort that he's put into it. But, you know, he's a smooth operator. And what I mean by that is you never know if he's 0-for-7 or has this 37 game hit streak that he's now broken the record here for the
Big 12 record.
Congratulations, so congratulations, man, to that young man. Sure. I mean, it's so amazing to watch him go about his work, because I remember last year there was a ball that he hit on the infield and it was a pop up. He didn't run out of the box and he actually got benched. And I told Craig while I was actually on air with Craig. And I said, Coach Pierce is not going to send him back out there. And he was like, you think? And I was like, I know, because I could see it. Mm. And I know how this whole thing goes, because it's more about how you carry yourself as a player as opposed to what happens on the field,
yes,
right?
No
so
doubt.
There's a lot that goes into it. So I went down, and I just happened, you know, there was a victory, so I got a chance to do the interview. But I saw the conversation going on in the dugout, and I told Craig, and I was like, it's a learning experience. He's going to get right back out there, and he's going to be ready to go. Not only has he gone out there and played well, he just became the all-time consecutive game hit streak. He got a hitting streak, and he became that guy in the Big 12. But not only that, we've talked about his defense all year.
Bad play.
Probably he plays a very, very shallow right field. Very shallow. He cuts the ball off. He throws guys out. We had Danny Davis on the other day. He talked about his defense and what he means for this team. But we got a chance to see him go airborne today.
That was
airborne.
Has there been a better defensive play this year for Texas baseball, in your opinion?
I don't think there's been a bigger defensive play in baseball this year.
It's definitely going to make the sports center top 10.
And if it's not number one, something's wrong, because it wasn't just a diving catch. It was an elevated dive, laying out football type of play.
I know. I was worried he'd hurt himself.
Right.
That's why, knock on wood, I was worried he'd hurt himself, because he just – Yes. It was like a reckless abandon. The Absolutely. Body did not matter at that point, and he laid out, and usually that shoulder was exposed.
Yes. Normally you can pop that out of place, but he got right back up. And then he comes up in his next at bat and hits a ball off the wall and drives in two runs, and it was just – I mean, drives in a run. That's the beautiful part about it, because he plays the game of baseball. I know that we can talk about Eric Kennedy saving that three-run home run. That was a great call by my man Craig Way. Both of those plays – by Craig Way were outstanding. But when you look at this team and what we talked about last week, you know, they needed to shorten it up. They needed to make some plays at the plate. They needed to do some situational things. They got out of their way and had an error. Jack O'Dell let the ball go through his legs. That's very unexpected. But Lucas Gordon being able to go out on that mound, compete, get 8 strikeouts, no walks, actually picked off a guy at first base. But he got it. He was going on first move. He got there. But that just goes to show what I was talking about the running game for Louisiana.
Yeah, they're aggressive.
If you put that lefty on the mound, it kind of slows their running game down, because you can't just take off when you want to. You got to make sure you got the right read and all that. So I thought this was a huge win for the Texas Longhorns. Timing is everything, and for them to have Lucas Gordon be able to go as long as he was. And then Zane Morehouse. I talked about this the other day. The only worries that we truly have is what's going to happen in the back of the bullpen. And for Zane Morehouse to be the only one that goes into the game and closes it out in 2 innings, that's huge for the Texas Longhorns as they try to figure out what's going to happen in the long run in this regional.
Yeah, with a 4-2 win for Texas over the Raging Cajuns. Is it possible that both Eric Kennedy's catch and Dylan Campbell's catch can make the top 10?
100%.
Can they both make it?
They can both make it.
All right.
There's got to be some other things that look outstanding, because that's a game saver.
It was. The Eric Kennedy one actually, because it took three runs on the board.
Yes.
It was more impactful. The Dylan Campbell one was just so spectacular.
It was very spectacular, but it also helps because the next batter hits a ball off the wall.
Yeah, you're right. They scored.
The next batter hits a double off
the
wall.
Hits the ball off the wall.
Yeah, so, I mean, that saves a run right there, too. So we have two different plays that end up being set up in another, because Eric Kennedy's ended the inning. So that was outstanding.
It was.
That was outstanding.
It honestly, he has looked so nonchalant.
Exactly.
He should have exerted himself more, right? It looks so it looks so smooth. I thought it went over the wall.
Right. He was
because he did. He just did it, and it was like, no big deal. You see with Dylan Campbell, he like stayed on the ground a little bit. Grimaced a little bit.
Yeah.
And then kind of surprised, looked in the glove. It was very dramatic. Looked in the glove, surprised. I got this.
I can't wait to see it tonight. Yeah.
You had the runner coming around second, like going to the ump going, He didn't catch that, right?
He really didn't catch that.
I'm going for 3, right?
No, that was the Eric Kennedy one. He was just too smooth.
Yeah.
That was his problem.
I agree.
You got to learn how to play it better, man. You got to play it up a little bit better. But they both ended up being top 10 plays. They definitely were worthy of it, in my opinion. But Texas baseball, great win, 4-2 over the Raging Cajuns. Now we wait to see exactly what happens next for the Longhorns. And I know there are some people paying attention out on the West Coast to what the Aggies are doing, because there's already talk that if the Aggies take care of business and the Longhorns continue to win, that both of them in the Super Regional, we could see the rivalry renewed.
Yeah, we sure can.
But I don't want to jinx it, so we won't get into that. We'll save that. We'll table that discussion for later on. But congrats to Texas baseball. That is a hell of a win. And it was a team win. I mean,
three, four, five
different guys who came up clutch for them when they needed it. Otherwise, if any of those efforts are lacking, they don't get the dub.
Not get the dub.
Yeah,
and it's a total team effort.
It was a team
all the way around, because you look at the very beginning of the game and how it started, wasn't very good, didn't get no hits. You got to go out there, you move on, you're trying to figure out what's going on with them, and you're not looking sharp at the plate. But then they end up figuring it out, got some line drives, putting the ball in play, cutting the strikeouts down. They only struck out 8 times this game.
It's big.
Still a little bit high, and they only got 4 walks, but they put pressure on them. They put the ball in play.
Their pitcher started out pretty good.
Yeah, oh, he was dialed in.
He was dialed in.
He
at
was
first.
Dialed in.
Texas just warmed
and
down.
And then all of a sudden, he got a little too excited, yeah. And my boy Mitchell Daly said, "Let me reintroduce myself." Yeah. He stretched out on him.
All right, so we'll come back. We'll get into game one of the NBA Finals. We'll review that when we come back on the other side. A truncated edition of Ball Don't Lie. We'll come right back right here on 104.9 The Horn. I've been caught feeling like a fish out of the water. Baby, Lord, I swear, ain't nothing in this world that's harder. Something about you makes me lose my cool. Make me start acting like a silly fool. I've always been smooth, but for some reason I just can't with you. The way you move, the way you do. 512 Friday. That means my man Patrick's playing jam from local bands and artists, very talented human beings, who you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Brody Lane, and they are playing Saturday night at Saxon Pub.
Hey, I know those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
Yep.
Big fans of Brody Lane. Like that. We'll continue with a 512 Friday, even though it's a short, abbreviated edition of Ball Don't Lie on 512 Friday. Let's talk briefly, and we'll continue this discussion on the other side, about game one of the NBA Finals. Nuggets with a 104-93 win. Yeah, they covered. I think that number was 9. It was a big number.
It was. Plus. And the over-under, of course, is always the under. Man. When both of these teams are coming off of rusty, long, you
true.
Know.
Good
you
point. Shoot,
it was it was 219. It didn't even get to 200.
No, that's crazy. 219. Vegas is rarely that way off. But anyway, 104-93. And I know the series is far from over, but that game one, that rust factor that people kept bringing up, that was not really an issue.
No.
For the Denver Nuggets. No. How about this stat, guys? The Nuggets led the entire game except for 34 seconds.
That is dominance.
The game was only within single digits for 23 seconds. Their lead was only within single digits for 23 seconds. It's crazy.
That is straight dominance, and that's I don't know if we expected it to be at that level. Well, we definitely expected Denver to be that team that was going to be ready to play. I mean, the way that they moved the basketball, and we could talk about the passes that were being made, the assists that were being made, but at the end of it all, they played team basketball. There's nobody that's sitting there thinking that they're better than the next guy, because they understand that when we play as a team, we can make things happen.
They did, because the start, Jokic went a while.
He didn't
early
shoot.
On. He didn't shoot.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need to.
Yeah, it was great. I was like, oh, you mean the best player? They went all the way midway through the first quarter, and the best player on either team hasn't taken a shot, and they still had, I believe, close to a double-digit lead at the time.
Yes.
But this is the one, it kills me, because this was Miami's game to win. They played good enough defense. Denver did not play a good second half. You held them to 104 points, and you just shot. Horribly.
Awful.
Caleb Martin was 1-for-7. Mm. Max Strus was 0-for-10. Duncan Robinson 1-for-6. Like, that's, you can't have that many guys just be terrible, awful. I mean, Jimmy Butler only had 13 points.
On 14 field goal attempts.
Like, basically everybody shot poorly in that game. And you go, one of those guys plays well, you win that game. Yep. And I get that it doesn't seem like that, but again, this is a game where I said yesterday, all that Miami needs is a good third quarter.
They had a good second half. You brought the Lakers series and how they kept it close because they were playing good defense. They just couldn't score enough.
Yeah, and that was it. And they did it. They got them there, but they put up 93 points in the game. You're not going to win any playoff games at 93 points, really. You're not going to win a finals game at 93 points in today's NBA. So I think the defense worked. You were able to play a really good second half. But you just could not hit shots when you needed to.
Yep.
And that's going to be something that they have to figure out. If it was the elevation for these younger guys, that they just weren't up for it. If it's they're just worn out because they've been playing hard now for 3 series to get where they're at.
I could see that.
But you have to figure out something to be like, look, man, we got a few games left, and it's less if you guys don't want to play.
Right.
But you guys need to just find that third, fifth, 12th reserve tank of energy and try and get out there and just get a little bit more legs and hit some of these shots, because they played the defense. They played it to get it to 104, and they were able to slow them down. And part of Jokic not taking a shot is to go, okay, we're defending Jokic to where we're letting him find other guys, but we want him to find other guys.
You want him distributed. You want because him to be we distributed want the, and not
we
a
want,
score.
We want to push. We want to get the ball to the lowest percentage shooter on the court and let them try and beat us, because that's our best shot to win. Because if we let the highest percentage guy, even if we defend him well, he's still going to outscore probably Aaron Gordon shooting threes.
Yeah.
You got to figure out on possession by possession, when do you want to make or try to force Jokic to be a distributor, and when can you afford to have him as a scorer based possession by possession. But Bam Adebayo, he did try to match the energy. I'll give him that.
Yep.
I mean, he was active.
He tried to show up.
He 26 points, 13 rebounds. He had 5 assists. He tried to match the energy, but Jokic with it missed a triple-double. 27 points, 14 assists, most by center in finals history. He surpassed Bill Russell and 10 rebounds. And, guys, another stat that stood out, Miami attempted just 2 free throws.
Yeah.
That was the fewest by any team in any playoff game in NBA history.
Yes.
Not just finals, in NBA history.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And whose fault is that? Ref or their fault?
No, that's theirs. That's 100% theirs.
Because they kept shooting threes.
Yeah. And they kept pulling mid-ranges where nobody was even close to them half the time.
Jamal Murray hit 2 threes. He scored 26 points. Michael Porter Jr. went 2-for-11, scored 14 points.
Yeah, because Denver wasn't great for three-point
range. That's what I'm saying. They still missed, but they got points because they drove to the basket at points and went, okay, well, dunk. Aaron Gordon only shot 1-3, missed it. He still gets 16 points because they were attacking the basket, which means you're either going to get fouled or you're going to get a shot up. So they at least changed up and went, all right, our threes aren't falling. We got to change what we do. And Miami just kept shooting threes, and they kept missing threes.
Live by the three, die by the three.
Remember, they were definitely dying because you said it.
They were the hottest three-point shooting team in the playoffs going into the finals. I just wondered if it was sustainable.
Yep.
At least for game one.
It was not sustainable.
Not. They did not. But that's their worst three-point shooting performance of the playoffs. And honestly, it's got to be one of the worst of the season.
Yeah.
Wrong
time to not be good.
And in reality, performance. They shot 33%. It's not like it was the worst three-point. I mean, there's
plenty of teams
that were.
Just shooting overall. I should say shooting, not three-point shooting. Overall. Yeah, shooting overall, it was pretty bad. And honestly, they kind of reverted back to what they were in the regular season.
Very much so.
Because they were a bad regular season offense. Yep. They were like one of the worst offenses in the NBA.
I tell you, we need to get Jimmy Butler mad again.
Yeah.
Because this is not mad Jimmy Butler. This is double team, pass out of it. Double team, pass out of it. Oh, they're really trying to guard me hard, pass out of it. Like, just come on, man. I get Aaron Gordon's a good defender. I get KCP's a good defender. Just go at them, because worst case scenario, they're going to give you fouls. You should have shot 8 free throws in that game.
He averages 9 per game in the playoffs. 9
and
free throw attempts.
The team shot 2.
And he had you're right. Jimmy's being passive, and if Jimmy's passive, they're going to lose. They're going
to
get swept.
Jimmy has to be aggressive. He has to go to that mental place where Patrick is trying to get him. But here's the deal. I mean, was he sitting back, because they normally win game one. They normally take it off their other team's first.
They have, yes.
They've
been
won
their
it every series.
That's been their trend.
They've started with the win, so they try to steal that home court away from you, and then they go out there and
play. Put the pressure on you.
Now the pressure is reverted back to them. I know everybody always says a series doesn't start until you win one on the road. They still have that opportunity, but do they have enough to keep up with the non-aggressive, passive sometimes Jokic, because the other complimentary players show up?
Oh yeah, Jokic.
That's the other part of
There's
it.
There's no pressure on Jokic.
Zero.
It should be pressure on him. Like, I have to.
And he still got a
moment.
Triple double.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in this moment, they need me to do this. They need me to spark the offense. They got to run through me. There's no pressure because his supporting cast, they are right now playing at a really, really high level.
They understand it.
So yeah, okay, we'll come back. We'll continue to discuss game one of the NBA Finals. Also, I want to get into some discussion about the NFL in H-Town. There's a rumor, and they're getting excited about it, and it has to do with DeAndre Hopkins. We'll get into that report. Also, some Cowboys news notes and nuggets. Once again, Micah Parsons is trying to clarify his designation as a player. He should just leave it alone.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Stop.
We're coming up next right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.